fold it up and put it in your pocket. Well, and that's just the, dare I say, the first of many things to come. But this time we're going to switch gears a little bit, and you can see that I'm wearing a Pine Ridge Bible Camp shirt, and I'm going to invite our Pine Ridge team to come up and have a seat on these 8 chairs. There's one for each of you. I'll just stand off to the side. This past summer, for those of you who don't know, a team of us, this team here, went up to Pine Ridge Bible Camp, which is located about 400 kilometers north of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. So after we flew into Saskatoon, we had a nice, I guess it was about a 5-hour drive up to the camp. And we had different roles to play. So what I'll do is I'll just, some people here may not know you, so just pass the microphone along. Just tell us your name and what you did at the camp or where you served.
I'm Joanne Carnahan, and I served as head cook.
I'm Alicia Carnahan, and I served as a dishwasher.
I'm Robin Stroon, and I also served as a dishwasher.
I'm Matt Stroon, and I was doing maintenance with my dad here, and we were working on a couple boats. It was pretty cool. So, yeah.
And I'm Terry Struan, and I helped the head cook in the kitchen, Joanne.
I'm Brandon, and I served as a cabin leader.
Hi, I'm Mike. I served in maintenance, as my son mentioned, working on a couple of boats, and also got a chance to volunteer a lifeguard for a while.
Hi, I'm Josie, and I helped Joanne in the food prep area.
You can hold on to the mic. I've got one right here on my side because you'll need that when you start talking. Now, it's been a couple months since we were last at Pine Ridge, so what I thought we'd do to get the memory juices flowing is to show the video of the camp. So, Corey, I know you've got that keyed up. We'll show this is a week in the life, Pine Ridge Bible Camp.
Thank you. found the room.
Not Josie.
The one thing that I really enjoyed about being at camp is that I got to see the kids, every one of them, individually 3 times a day. So it was nice to interact and talk with them. And some of the counselors I got to really know well. One particular would ask me, what's for lunch or what's for supper at the end of each meal? And then he'd say, and don't burn it!
One thing was that I got to know pretty much all the campers by doing the tech shop, so I became good friends with them, and they learned more about God doing all the stuff there, so, yeah.
Yeah, like what Alicia said, during the tech shop, we got to interact with them, and all the kids really seemed to like all of us, which was surprising, because I didn't think they'd like me. And, yeah.
I lost my train of thought. I liked meeting some of the staff there. It was a friendly environment, and I really enjoyed it. And I liked working on the 2 boats that we had to work on. We sort of got the one
going.
Yeah. Yeah, we got one, but it was cool to see the camp, and I'd go back definitely if I was asked to. So.
Just to add, no, it's okay, you can if you're done, that's fine. But get out in front of that. What you're saying there about the staff, I just wanted to remind everyone that there's a few staff that Pine Ridge has there that live full time year round. It's one couple, Sarah and Lucas. They were pictured near the front of the video with their little baby Carly. Others come up from Prince Albert, which is about a 3-hour drive or more from the camp. And then others, we had a couple. One girl actually was from Barrie. She was out for a few weeks this summer. Another guy from Ajax, Oshawa. I think it was Eastern. Somewhere east of the GTA. They've had staff come from British Columbia. So because it's affiliated or associated with Northern Canada Evangelical Mission, wherever their missionaries are and wherever churches support them, that's where they draw staff to come up for the 4 weeks of kids camp. We were up for one of those weeks. Kids were ages 8 through 12, and they have 1 week of teen camp. They even have people coming up from the States. They flew up from Indiana, I think, was where one group had come from as well. And I know just before we get to Mike, I know Terry's got the microphone, but I was talking with Lucas, and he said that he used to work at Timber Bay Camp, which was in Northern Ontario, and they would get people with specialty skills to come up, so whether carpentry or mechanical, whatever it is, in order to complete certain tasks and fix-it jobs around the camp. And for the 4 years that he's been at Pine Ridge, this is the first summer that he's had someone with Mike's know-how of engines come to the camp. So that was a real answer to prayer from Lucas's standpoint for Mike and Matt to be able to work on the engines of those boats.
Okay. I enjoyed working as a cook with my group. It was a great group, Joanne and Josie, and our singing dishwashers. They kept us entertained. and also, I enjoyed in the morning. We were able to be part of the morning chapel. The cooks, we had some time to sit while Pastor Brian talked to the leaders and heard the leaders' stories as how the night went after Pastor Brian's message, and how some of them were being impacted by his message. That to me was really That was really good. Like, I just enjoyed that. In previous places I've cooked, you don't hear that type of thing. So it's been really, that was really encouraging to me, hearing the cabin leader stories about praying with their children and how they responded to the message throughout the day. And then also in the evening, we had a chance to go to the chapel at night, where Alicia and Robin were leading the worship. And I was really encouraged by that too, because I was able to hear part of Pastor Brian's message, like, again. So it just put a good cap on the day besides just cooking. And but although the cooking was fun, we we did lots of cooking, and the girls did lots of dishwashing. Yeah, and I really enjoyed getting to know Josie better too, and we had an opportunity where a camp counselor had to leave, so they asked Josie or myself if we would take that position, and I was too scared. But I was Josie was willing, and I was like so just excited about her willingness to help out in any area of the camp. So that was very encouraging to me too. And yeah.
Could you, Terry, could you just pass it down to Josie? Now, Josie, you shared, because we got together on Tuesday night, and you shared a story I hadn't heard before when that situation came, when the counselor had to leave, and you were asked to, if you would consider going into the cabin.
Yeah, just to add to that story, I was asked, and I was willing to go, not realizing what would be involved there. and I was getting ready to leave, when this little munchkin over here, Robin, grabbed me with her head on my chest, and she said, "No, don't leave us." And I thought, oh, gee, she really likes me. And then I thought, no, this little munchkin knows that if I leave the kitchen, she's going to be peeling potatoes and onions. She was just begging me not to leave.
Well, I went up for 2 weeks. I stayed for the third week after the second when they were all there. I was a cabin leader for both weeks, and it was really, really cool to see all the kids and how they got excited for everything that was going on, if it was evening games or chapels. They really enjoyed the skits. There's a little video of me.
Yeah, I don't know if you recognize Brandon. He was the guy who came in with the, I guess it was like a yellow-colored shirt and then a
straw hat.
Straw hat, yeah. And you were gnawing on a piece of wood.
Yeah.
Now the theme for the summer was living free, and so the staff are there trying to come up with a running skit that they would act out in the evening chapel sessions. And so Brandon, your character wasn't, I mean, you had the Russian doctor and an English guy, sounded a lot like Sherlock, but you were bound by
I had addiction to wood.
An addiction to wood.
I had to eat wood.
And so then the story kind of progressed along throughout the week that it was only by really surrendering your life to Christ that you could be free from that addiction.
And it turns out the cure to wood is peanut butter M&Ms.
Peanut butter M&Ms, okay.
That's how I was cured.
And it was a steady diet of that. Not, you know, they tried to encourage you, just nibble a little bit of wood at a time, but it was, you need to make that break.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. How many slivers in your mouth did you get?
What?
How many slivers in your lips? And
oh, man, you don't even know. I tried to spit it out, but it wouldn't go. Yeah, the kids were amazing. You see them on the first day, and they look like troublemakers, but then you get to know them, and they're just amazing.
A lot of these kids, I say they're all First Nations kids, and when we were up last year, one of the fellows who was helping at the camp said that he enjoys the camp ministry so much because he sees these kids running around and laughing because in the homes they come from and the communities they come from, there's not a lot of joy, not a lot of happiness there. So to have that freedom, that fun, is a real treat to watch them run around, and that's something that Brandon, you experienced.
Yeah, I think dovetailing on what Brian just said, that particular family comes from Alberta. They make a 10-hour drive with their whole family, which is seven kids, the eldest of which was serving with Robin and Alicia in the kitchen, who's 11, and they have him down to 2 years old. I was talking with the father, and he was saying that they got involved with this ministry because they are so excited about just seeing kids have fun. And they were saying that this ministry is the highlight of their year for these kids. They have more fulfillment and more joy out of this week than, you know, our kids would get for Christmas. And the area where we grow around, there is no churches. So this is the only salt and light that they see in that year, you know. There's some darkness in their families. And I recognized a few areas where it didn't hit me right away. As I had volunteered for lifeguarding, once I finally got over the shock of it and trying to micromanage 65 kids in a lake, I was able to just move on and have some fun with these kids. And on the second day, a couple of the girls came up to me and said, "Can you push me in the water?" I said, "Well, sure, no problem. You can push me in the water." And they just, you know, give me a gentle nudge, and I said, "That's not going to do it." Anyway, that eventually there was about 15 of them pushing on me, and I had to teach them actually how to push me off the dock, which seems a little odd that you would do that. But they weren't digging in properly. They weren't working together as a team. Eventually, I did notice, though, they were able to get me pushed off the end of the dock, and they were all happy. But what was interesting is that as you look at the demographic of the people that were pushing in, and they were all young girls. So, you know, there's probably a lack of fatherly influence in these kids' lives, which is real sad. I had one of the girls comment, and I didn't really have that much interaction. She goes, "You're the favorite," she says, "You're the most favorite guy on the whole planet." I went, "Yeah." So, other than that, there's, you know, Brandon had alluded to, you know, seeing these kids on the first day. And the first day of chapel, I thought, there's nothing that can be done with these children to teach them. And I was standing in the back, or sitting in the back of the chapel hall there, and observing some of these, and I just, you know, watching Brian's patience begin to wane a bit. He held her up pretty good, though. I was impressed. And so much of it was getting out of hand that I thought I'd be a policeman eventually and, you know, break up the mob for poor Pastor Brian, but I didn't have to, and I didn't do that all week. But you saw the video of the last day where all these kids were participating in active scripture, and that was a verse that Brian had taught the kids to work out with actions, and I hope Brian would share that with you. Could you do that, Brian?
Yeah. Later. Later. I'm going to do it.
Pushing us.
Yeah.
It's classic. Anyway, I'm sitting there, and in the back row, in the second to back row, there's a cabin leader, and I can't remember who it was, but they'd asked me to take over their spot, which was between two boys that were, you know, let's say you needed to manage them more than the others. And I said, sure, no problem. So I sat between these two boys, and I had seen some of their antics during the week. Surprisingly, one of the boys asked me, do you know where the scripture is? And then God rested. I go, yeah, I do. He goes, can you show it to me? Because that's a memory verse I haven't got yet, and I want to finish it before I go. So, of course, we opened up into Genesis, and I showed him the verse. And I said, just something to think about here. When you and I have to do something, like, what do we have to do? He says, well, we either move it, or we cut it, or we stick things through it. And I says, yeah, we have to use our hands. I say, let's go back to the beginning and tell me how God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. And this, by this time, his buddy was attentive, and he's listening across, and he goes, God spoke. I says, what does that tell you about God? He's pretty great. So just to see that, you know, it's only a week, but God had influence on these kids' lives, and it was awesome to see. It was really awesome to see. Anyway, kudos to the youth, those boys and girls who work with these kids. It is a full-time job. It's about 18 hours a day, maybe more. And I was impressed by, you know, them going and sharing on themselves. Certainly I saw an element of Brandon, his maturity and his leadership, immaturity as well. but he did real good. He did good, and you would have been proud of him representing you in the cabins.
I went for three reasons. One was to serve, because I've been particularly blessed over the past couple of years. So I felt the push to go and serve, and I certainly did do that. The second reason was to connect. I not only connected with the other two people in the kitchen, there were only three of us, and there was a lot to do. So we had to work as a team, and we worked very hard, and we had to put out a lot of food. From 40 to 70 people were served in a day, three meals a day. And also I wanted to connect with the native people, and I did have an opportunity to do that because one little girl, I think she had a meltdown, and she was particularly out of it, and she had fainted, and Brian asked me to just to watch over her, so I did, and I had a chance to talk with her a little bit and make sure that she ate something. So I really did want a connection with some of the native people, because my husband and I had worked in the north for 25 years with native people from three different reserves around the North Bay area. So for me, it was nostalgic too. And I also got to talk to a teenager who was looking forward to going to college. So those were my two opportunities to connect with some native people. And I think the third reason, I've forgotten, but it was very rewarding to do this kind of work. So if you do have a push to serve, this would be a wonderful way to do it.
So it sounds like that you all had a good time, and I know that because I was with you as well, but you would do this again, is that right? Do you think that anybody could do this? Do you think even people out here can do this?
Sure.
Yeah? Well, I don't know when we're going to go back, but I think that there's at least a seed planted that we could send another team another summer. Mike?
Yeah, I just found it to be, you know, just a very fulfilling and joyful use of our time. You know, we typically think of a vacation as going somewhere and laying on a beach and relaxing, and this was anything but that. You know, you were going to bed sometimes. I was going to bed at 9 o'clock just because couldn't possibly stay awake anymore. We were so burnt out. But at the end of the day, all of us were more joyful when we came back, and we were talking about, you know, how the week went and how those trials were, and there was a few of them that came up. But you see the Lord's hand working in these kids and in our own lives, and you're going, this is a great vacation. I choose this.
Well, unless there's something someone else wants to add about their experience, what they... Joanne? Okay. There's.
I would be amiss if I didn't share as a mother my experiences. Before heading out, I had two main prayer concerns or requests. One was that Brandon, being in the cabin, would both be spoken to and able to be a leader and speak to others. And I got to see that, and the comment that he made to me that really impressed on me was that, Mom, I had to keep these guys from telling inappropriate jokes. And that just really struck me as funny, but I thought, wow, God, you're really like in everything, like even down to the smallest minute detail. The other thing was Alicia and Robin are great friends. They've gone to school together. They've been in Sunday school together. But if they spend more than 24 hours together, they're not such great friends. And they had to work with each other all day, every day. And they had to share a room at night. And it was amazing that these girls made it through the whole week. I think they each had one part of a day where they had a little meltdown. But you know what? They picked themselves up, they got over it, and they dealt with it, and they moved on, and God worked mightily in their lives. So as a mom, I was really, really blessed to see that my kids were used by God and also that they gained something for themselves.
Yeah, that was well put, Joe. Somehow, though, I had to drive with them 5.5 hours both ways. And you and Joe didn't. What's up with that? They were perfectly quiet on the way back. I couldn't believe it, because the way there was just like...
Yeah, Mike came out with pieces of tissue in his ears.
Actually, I stopped on the way out the drive shed that I had been working in with all the tools. I knew that there was earplugs and where they were hanging on the wall, so I made sure that I grabbed them on the way out. But they were great. They were great. They had a joyful time, and they brought a lot of joy to other people. One area that you wouldn't think Canada, you know, and remoteness, but it is there. You know, and one of the challenges that Matthew and I faced was getting parts up there. You know, I thought, you know, we live in this little vacuum here, the GTA, where anything is available by FedEx next day. And, you know, they were telling me that, you know, it takes weeks to get parts up here. Fortunately, I had Matthew, my IT guy, with me, who managed to find the only place in the whole camp where we could get 3 bars of reception on my smartphone so that I could hook up to my laptop and do some Google searches. And we were able to, and I think they were pretty impressed by that, you know. We were able to hook up and find somebody who was happened to be going into town on one occasion and was able to pick up parts for both motors for us. So the wake boat was completely down because the starter was gone in it. You know, we managed to find, God blessed us to find a starter for a marine engine at a farm supply place in the middle of nowhere, which happened to be on this guy's route going back down to Saskatoon, and he was coming back up the next day. So, you know, the kids were not out that fun event the whole week because, you know, God gave us the opportunity. But typically, you know, if you need something, it's Canada Post, and it comes by bus 1 day a week to the main postal station, and that's you know, that's the level of remoteness. So, and also, you know, I was encouraged with Matthew. We had all the tech stuff with us because we didn't even have manuals, so we were able to. Matt took some very high resolution photos as we were taking stuff apart, and
then he was able to upload them on the laptop. So when we got the new parts and had to put everything back together, he displayed for me nice full-size pictures and zoomed in and stuff. And yeah, it was pretty cool. So it was nice to come alongside this guy for a week and work together. We had some events where it wasn't so comfortable, where they had these bugs called, bulldogs. Yeah, they're about the size of a loonie, and they'd be like a big deer fly kind of thing, and they were all over the place. And Matthew and I put a new water pump in one of the motors, and we had to hold this thing in with our hands and our feet underneath in the grass where these things were flying, and I think we both had about six of them on us at one time, but we had to get at least one screw in so we could hold this thing in place. And to give you an idea how sharp these needles are, I've got scar tissue on the back of my leg, and there was a bite right in the center of a scar tissue. Like, it doesn't even phase on these creatures, you know, the higher density flesh. They can eat anything.
Yes. Yes, I wasn't looking forward to the bugs either, because I knew in the beginning that there would be bugs, and I had to really think about it. And I thought, what can I do? So I bought these off things that I stuck on me to, and I turned it on, and it emits something into the air. And I was okay for the first 3 days, and I thought, oh, this is a breeze, no bugs. And then Joanne came to me and said, one of the children's throats is closing up because of something in the air, and we think it's your off. I said, you're going to have to turn it off. And I thought, oh, my God. I think God wants me to get bitten a couple of times. Anyway, here you go. Anybody else?
During the second week I was there, it was raining one day, and instead of doing an activity, we did a talent show. And my guys, they decided to build a human pyramid and sing I'm a Little Teacup. And when they got to the part, tip me over and pour me out, they all just crashed on the ground, and they fell over each other, and they're screaming, and they're rolling all over, and they won first prize. That was a good day. That was a really good day. Oh, yeah.
Okay, Matt, you get the final word.
yeah, I just wanted to add, although it was fun working the boats, there were some days it was challenging, especially for me. Because it was a lot of work, but we managed to push through it, and it ended up being a really good time. So meeting with some of the staff, I met two guys. They were really good, people. One of them was from Ontario, and then another one was from Prince Albert in Saskatchewan. There, a couple hours drive from where we were, but they were really good friends to me during the week, and I was just blessed by them. And also, I learned a lot more from PB's message at the chapels at night. There were some days where I was just like really tired. I just wanted to lay down, so I missed a couple. But it was good when I was there, and to see all the kids throughout the week, they got better at listening and to the message. I found from like at the start of the week when they got there on Sunday till the Friday. So it was a real big change I noticed. So.
Well, thanks everyone for sharing, and you'll be sticking around for a little bit after the service, so if anyone wants to ask any more questions, or if you want to share any more stories, you can do that then. I just want to remind you that, you know, Pine Ridge, yeah, northern Saskatchewan. Yes, it was sunny. It was a little cool some of the nights. But it's an opportunity to serve. And each one of us felt God saying, you need to go, you need to serve, and we did. And God gets the glory because, and we were blessed as a result of going as well. And we don't know what's going to happen with all those children. You know, they come, I recognize a number of them from our summer up there last year. And they're learning, they're growing. We don't know if they'll come back as staff. We don't know if they've made a profession of faith that week. Sometimes you hear stories of, well, the one fellow, Jensen was his name, who did that the week that we were up there. One of his counselor was able to talk to him about the gospel and make that very clear, and he accepted Christ as his Savior. But there are others who will go up, be another one, two, three summers before they make that commitment. We pray that they do. And so for as long as there's children there to serve, the camp will be there, and it will be on our minds as an opportunity to be used by God. I do want to teach you that memory verse, Galatians 5:13, that we taught the children. That was at the end of the video. I don't know if you remember this. If you were with us back at the community center years ago, I think I taught this to you then, but it has been a while. So I'm just going to need you to try not to hurt anybody while you're flailing your arms around. But just kind of follow my lead. You. And you can repeat. You. That way it sticks in your mind when you do the action and you say the word. So you. It's not me. It's you. My. Okay, you can say my. Now, brothers. So we're family, right? So we just, arms wide open for our brothers. This is where you have to be careful, Whitney, okay? Okay, so we'll do that. You. My. Brothers. Okay, do it one more time. You. My. Brothers. Okay, that's a good start. Now, when you're out in the bush and you need to get a hold of someone, you need to call them, right? You might not have a phone with you, you might not have reception, but maybe you're going to give them a call with your voice. And so you want to project your voice as loud as you can, as far as you can. So what do?
Shout.
You shout. You even may even cup your mouth like this to try and project it out. So you, my brothers, were called, okay, were called to, okay, so hold two fingers, like a bee now, so flap your wings, bee. Now, free, how do you do free? Well, you're setting a little creature, a little butterfly, or a little something, a little frog or toad free, so you kind of release it. So free, that's how you do that. So, called to be free. Now let's put everything together. You, my brothers, were called to be free. Okay, that's the first half. This is where it gets funny, especially for the kids. Because the next word is but. So yes, that's right. So you just point to your behind. But. Now, for those of us who are married, we have a wedding band on our ring finger, and so the next word is do. So that's, you know, when you say I do and you put the ring on the person's ring finger, that's the action. So but do, okay, now not. So you just kind of slap the back of your hand, not gently though, okay, don't do it too hard. Not, yeah. So but do not use. How word are you going to use? Well, you're using something, so I just thought you're using cards. You're playing Uno. I like Uno. So you use, so you deal the cards. So that's use. But do not use your, same word, freedom. Okay, there we go. So you just smack your forehead. So let's do that last part together. But do not use your freedom. All right, back to the beginning. Let's see if you're still following along with me. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom. Okay, to, indulge. Now, how are we going to do indulge? After you've eaten a big meal, Thanksgiving is coming up soon. There'll be turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, the whole bit. So indulge. You got full tummy. Indulge. So you just, hold your tummy. For some of us, it's easier to do that than others. But yeah, hold your tummy. So indulge the sin. Well, sin is something that's wrong. So again, same thing as not. Sin. Now, full. You got a full tummy. So every tummy. Then nature. So nature's kind of around us, so you just kind of, again, when you don't hit Tabitha, okay, when you do that, nature. So, two, indulge the sinful nature. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather. Okay, so just rather like that. Rather, and you're going to serve. Serve one another. Then you just put your in, there's something in your hand there, in love. Okay, so rather serve one another in love. Again, from the top. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. All right. Now, this also generated a few laughs. This is found in Galatians 5:13. Well, doing 5 and 13 is pretty easy. Just five fingers and then 13, 1 and 3. There's not really 13 fingers I'm holding up. I just want you to be clear on that. So Galatians, you just got to break it down. So, gal, I know, it's... gal, a, and then when you're going to shun something, you put it behind you, so shuns. So gal, a, shuns, 5:13. Okay? So, let's take it from the top. We'll have them stand up later. Okay, because I'm not done yet. Almost done. So, let's take it from the top. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Gal A shuns 5:13. You just memorized Galatians 5:13. Believe it or not, I learned that back when I was a teenager, and it has stuck with me all this time. And it's our prayer that the children and you as well will remember that. And just a couple closing words. Paul writes this to the church. It's a you, my brothers, my sisters. It's a term of endearment. He's addressing them as their spiritual father. You were called to be free. The theme verse is John 8, 31-32. If you keep my teachings or observe my teachings and abide in them, the truth, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And so we were called to be free. Free from what? Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 6, that we, once we are in Christ, we are free from sin. We are enslaved to sin by sin before Christ. Christ came to set you and me free from sin, from sin's penalty. Jesus Christ paid it all. We talked about that last Sunday. He paid the penalty for our sin, so you don't have to. He died on the cross, so you don't have to suffer death if you have received him and believed in his name. Also free from sin's power. That's an ongoing struggle. And eventually we will be free from sin's presence. being free from sin's power, Paul talks about in the second half of this verse. He says, don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, to feed the sinful nature. So we need to starve it. And I know that Pastor Bill, when he led one of the youth meetings back in the spring, and I think, Janet, you used it as well for the lady study, there are some pictures there about the sinful nature and how we're not to indulge it, not to feed it. We want it to be scrawny. We want it to be thin. And we don't want it to have any strength, because that's what battles, that's what struggles against our spirit, against the Holy Spirit, and against our calling and our freedom to be like Christ, to be holy. And so we need to set aside whatever it is we're feeding that sinful nature. We need to set that aside and feed instead on the living and true Word of God. If you keep my teachings, Jesus said, if you abide in my Word, do what it says. You'll know the truth will set you free. Then he says at the end, serve one another in love. That's what our team did this summer. We served not only the camp community, but the local communities in love. And it's something that we as a church are supposed to do. We're not to be selfish. We're not to be, again, feeding our own egos or following our own agendas. As a church, we're to serve one another in love. We do that by giving sacrificially, by giving generously, and graciously. So what can we do for God? It's not, you know, what can the church do for me, or what God can do for me. That's not the attitude we bring. It's not supposed to be. It's what can I do for my Lord? What can I do for Jesus, who died for me, gave his life for me? I'm going to give my life then back to him. What can I do for my brothers and sisters? What can I do for our church? And there's a need for some more Sunday school teachers. There are other needs in our church where you can serve. You can give your time, give your strength to serve one another in love. So what can we do for our God? What can we do for our church? What can I do for my neighbor? We did something for our neighbor this summer. Nicole, again, we're glad that you could come and join us this morning. And there are other opportunities that we have day to day to do something for our neighbor, to show our neighbors that we love them and care for them. Those are the questions that we need to be asking ourselves as we consider Paul's words. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but don't use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature, but rather serve one another in love. Ask the worship team to come and just play. We'll have one song that we're going to close with. Again, thanks so much on behalf of the team for praying for us this past summer. Some of the stories you've heard have been answers to those prayers. And we pray and hope that we might be able to send not only another team back up to Pine Ridge, maybe it could be a completely different team. Maybe it'll be going somewhere else. We don't know. We'll see where the Lord's going to lead, but we hope that you've been encouraged and challenged to have a servant's heart and to serve one another in the love of Christ. Janet, please lead us.
Thanks, man. I think it's so wonderful the way you are. But Christ came not to be served, but to serve and to do his love.